do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon. Ah.
What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina coladas.
What do you like?
Dead burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists.
Known perverts and Mormons.
What do you like?
A noise! 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 Noise!
11:38 in the morning, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. A little bit of a late start, thanks to the lovely public transit system. Luke Mead here reporting, and today, very special show, very special edition of A Noise. We're going to be focusing entirely on the man, the myth, Jandek, who is going to be in Vancouver on Monday, December 7th at the Scotiabank Dance Center. Get your tickets now. They are going fast, and it is your opportunity to witness a true enigmatic so-called outsider artist. For the first hour of the show, we have put together here at A Noise a one-hour audio documentary on Jandek featuring snippets from the film Jandek on Corwood. Jandek on Corwood is the documentary about Jandek. Well, how do you do a documentary about a person who refuses all forms of contact and interviews? Well, what they've done is they've collected a wonderful amalgamation of, I guess, talking heads, people in the know. I'm just going to just go to IMDb here right now and not BD. And actually kind of explain who's all in this. There's a lot of really, really good human beings in this. And the computer's not working. So, okay, well, we're just going to get to it. And this is, 1 hour of everything you didn't want to know about the man they call Jandek.
In the afternoon.
to go naked in the afternoon. Take off your hat, take off your coat. Big time in the city, you and your rep.
Magazine started off in 1985. I knew its executive editor, Edward Rasin, and he was looking around for writers. He had seen me do poetry readings. He had read my liner notes on the back of my albums and read my poetry, and so got the idea that I could write. Ha ha. So he asked me to write some material for Spin, because he needed material for this publication he was starting off. And the first thing that came to mind was Jandek, simply because he's underground, nobody knew about him, he was doing things on a shoestring, he wasn't some plastic rock star put out by the major labels, which were things that I would avoid writing about, because who needs to hear about them, and usually they don't have very interesting stories. So that's what motivated me to want to write about Jandek. Here's a guy that was putting out weird, unusual music. Not too many people would hear about him. Here's a new medium where we could get the word out about this person that I found very intriguing. I had heard information that he's very reclusive, hermetic. I didn't want to disturb anyone's private space or intrude upon their privacy. At the same time, I wanted to get some information about this. So it was similar to nosing about in the forest with a stick, digging into burrows and under rocks, to try to locate a small wild animal, a mammal, that might be rabid, might be dangerous, but you're a scientist and you want to glean some more information about this mysterious animal.
I understand you have never heard a Jandek song in your life. I'd like to describe that for you. There's a man in the room. He's got a guitar. He knows a few chords. And he's a melancholy sort. He picks up the guitar and he sort of free associates his way through several minutes. And then he stops. And then he does it again. And he does it over 20 or so odd albums. There it is.
Imagine you're 10 years old and you've never played a guitar. Then you just start hitting strings. And you're like, well, that sounds pretty good. That's pretty exciting. And you start singing the blues from Stream of Consciousness. And that's kind of what it sounds like at first impression. Upon closer listening, I think there's a lot more going on. But but if you just hear it first off, that's your impression.
It's a guy singing lyrics, which apparently he scribbled on a scrap of paper somewhere, to something vaguely recognizable as melody, and banging away on an acoustic or electric guitar, sometimes just a few chords, sometimes something a little more spirited. It is not the sort of thing that your average American consumer would describe as music.
When you listen to Jandek, you really sort of have to evaluate what your assumptions are about what counts as rock music, what counts as good music. You have to think about music in a different way after listening to Jandek.
That was right after punk rock, which obviously, you know, kind of started this whole DIY aesthetic about music that you don't need to be technically proficient. You don't need to have a lot of financial support. You know, you can put out a record on your own. You don't have to be a great musician. You can just do it.
He's not talentless. He's just kind of doing what appeals to him. And so the music isn't necessarily designed to appeal to anybody else in the whole world. If we get it, that's pure luck.
When you hear a Jandek song, or Yandek. I always thought it was Yandek, but I guess some people have had some kind of contact with him. It's hard for me to believe it's not Yandek. I guess it's more like you have to experience it as an atmosphere, to me at least, more than as a song. You start to believe in Yandek or Jandek's world when you're listening to it, because you are definitely in some other world when you listen to the way this music sounds.
The main kind of Jandek song, the kind that people usually think of, is somebody playing very slowly on an acoustic guitar that's very badly out of tune and sort of moaning a death blues. Not just a death blues, but a suicide note blues. I sometimes think of Jandek songs as being like a 33-volume suicide note. He always sounds like he's about to sign off, and he never does quite. And then there's always another one that comes after it.
When people come to the store and they want to have odd records described to them, usually I try and overstate the case, because a lot of people who want to try music that they have not tried before don't realize quite what they're getting into, and you don't want them to be too unhappy about it. And then people who are excited about getting an experimental record want the most ridiculous record they could possibly get. So you try and let them know what's going on by telling them a little bit too severely what's actually there. So a lot of times, like with a Jandek record, I would usually tell people that it's someone who has a completely untuned guitar and is just kind of meandering and yelling over it. And that might not tell them... That wouldn't tell a person who has a bunch of Jandek records what it sounds like, but for somebody who has, you know, a bunch of Tony Braxton records or, you know, some U2 records, that'll help them out.
I mean, really, at least for me, you know, the appeal of the stuff is in a way the fact that it's so unappealing. I like the music, but there are a lot of things that are sort of ugly about it. And again, it's not your standard stuff that you tend to hear. And I think that a lot of people like it because it's difficult, because it's somewhat alienating to the average listener. It gets strong reactions. And I think that if Jandek were to start putting out power pop albums, I'm guessing that people would be pretty turned off. I don't think people are coming to Jandek, you know, for a predictable music experience.
It's the kind of music you could play for somebody. People would say, this is random, you know, anybody can do this. And it's an argument that goes back, you know, as soon as people started to make any kind of break from representational art anywhere. You know, when you can't argue about the quality of technique, when you have to start saying, this has a theoretical presence, and this has an intellectual basis for it that has nothing to do with a measurable technique. There's art that's going on here that's not representational, and it's not supposed to be beautiful, and it's not supposed to be attuned to any kind of standard in a commercial sense.
As a guitar player, Jandek is like nobody else on the planet. This is not necessarily a good thing, but it's a unique thing. He approaches the instrument in a way that nobody else does. Either he doesn't really tune it, or he puts it in some sort of tuning that's not really anybody else's tuning.
Jandek has no need to learn how to play the guitar, quote unquote, because he has a guitar and it's an extension of him. So if he writes a song and he's mad that day, or if he writes a song and he's happy that day, he'll pick up the guitar or the snare drum, or sometimes nothing at all, or a chair, and he'll just bang on it. And if he bangs on it, you get a percussion instrument. If it's not in tune, he's not singing about an event that has to be in tune. What better to accompany him being very upset and troubled over something than a guitar, which is just as hard to listen to as his lyrics are to absorb? It's perfect. It's brilliant. Eric Clapton wouldn't know how to do it. I love Eric Clapton, but, you know, he's no Jandek.
You can tell that it's only a tape recorder. You hear the tape hiss. You hear any pops or bumps into the microphone or microphone stand. It's obviously in somebody's room. There's no audio processing devices or any of the expensive equipment that you'd find in a recording studio. And this part of the charm of the recordings.
Jandek is saying things that people may hallucinate or talk in their heads, but they seldom say out loud. What I think of Jandek real often is like staying up too long, you know, being sleepless for a couple days. I think we all sort of get into a Jandek-like state where there's maybe not enough insulation, you know, on the nerve endings. I think it is frightening music because it's very honest.
Like a dream state, or like just coming from the subconscious, or just stream of consciousness. I think that's his approach to his life, not just to his music. Listening to Jandek's music, I think, is like meeting someone on the street or waiting for a bus late at night, and you're looking across the street or you're looking down the bench and you see some interesting character sitting there, and at first you might be a bit taken aback or maybe even frightened. But then he becomes a source of fascination for you, and he doesn't even have to say anything, and he doesn't have to do anything. So if you're willing to trust your ears and your emotions, and you're willing to let something like that in other words, if you're willing to answer the door and open it without looking through the peephole first, then you can be a Jandek fan. Vagrant in your crippled
eye. I suppose just out of some sort of extravagant gratitude for that measure of initial publicity, Corwood Industries sent me a box of 25 copies of Ready for the House, just completely out of the blue. And I have to say, I had a real hard time getting rid of the rest of those copies. I kept a couple for myself, and some of them gave it back with some really strange comments. One guy commented that it reminded him of Mark Chapman crossed with John Hinckley. He was just really disturbed by it. And this is a guy who listens to a lot of disturbing sounds. I guess I could see what he means, but I didn't really understand the negative reaction that I was getting from people. To this day, I really don't.
Thank you.
In 1986, I wrote a piece on Jandek for Option magazine, and I had already heard that he almost certainly would not give an interview or even give any comment, but I thought as a good journalist, I should try to get an interview or at least, you know, one or two comments that I can use in this short piece. So I gave him my standard interview request, you know, we're running a piece on you, and I'd like to ask you a few questions if I could. We can do it by mail or by phone. And he wrote back, and the entire reply was, thank you for interest in your piece. Questions, etc., can't be arranged. Anything else? Just ask. So I almost thought even then when I got that reply, it's like, well, he's being kind of disingenuous here. He's saying he's not going to do an interview, but he's saying anything else, just ask. Maybe at that point he was... there was a little bit of, you know, trying to propagate this image of the total recluse or the enigma even more than that. Because, I mean, it wasn't that much earlier that John Truby had actually done a phone interview with him for Spin. 1985, I think. So this is only about a year later, and he's saying, no interviews. Here's this guy that... you know, making the most uncommercial music in the world. He's not selling any records. Doesn't want to do interviews.
I suppose if I'm writing for a mass audience, I'm going to hook on the mystery aspect. You know, the people are, the mystery, the curiosity of Jandek. What is this? You know, why is it? And why doesn't it fit in with the rest of the world?
The cumulative effect of Jandek's career certainly prompts or begs many questions about the nature of the person behind it, the identity of the person behind it, etc. That was, some of that was apparent with the first few releases simply because of, well, just the manifest dearth of any documentary information on there. That was very striking even from the first, that the only information is just the names of the songs and the name of the album and the address of Corwood Industries.
My reaction to hearing about it was a lot stronger than my reaction to actually hearing it. And I remember hearing that Jandek was some crazy guy who was reclusive, and that was really about all I knew. I was more interested in ones that were the same all the way through. Ones that just had acoustic guitar on them, maybe, and because I was much more interested in the idea that there was this, you know, reclusive guy writing these songs that made no sense.
When you do that same, present that same structure, record after record, and add to that this very, I don't know, kind of a forlorn quality in his voice, certainly after a while I just got a sense of this was a guy who just was not very social.
His music seems very introverted, like it was just for himself and one other person, or maybe just himself. Jandek often sounds like he's just singing to the wall.
There's a lot of surrealist qualities to his music that can be interpreted as derangement. Perhaps subconsciously that effect comes across of somebody who's just a bit deranged, and add to the antisocial element and you think, well, that isn't that the basic ingredients of a sociopath?
I did have the image of this guy who was really weird and alienated. You have a feeling you're eavesdropping on this guy who can't sleep, picking up his guitar at 3 a.m. in some desolate Skid Row hotel room and singing, and a tape recorder just happens to be there without him knowing it. One guy alone in a bare room and one light bulb. I really had the image of him being, you know, this borderline dysfunctional person who had virtually no contact with the outside world.
Different periods that the music moves through, which I came to really regard in higher and higher terms as it accrued. I mean, when there was one record, it was an anomaly, and it was interesting. When there was the second album, and then there was the third album, and they really started to pick up pace in terms of coming out, it seemed to all of a sudden be something that was done very consciously, and that they were being presented as a package. And then it was being done with these kind of art values that you wouldn't necessarily think of if something existed by itself. But the general idea up until, say, the last year or the last couple years was that there were really kind of three groupings of Jandek records that seemed, you know, separate enough that you could figure out what they were in terms of being an early period, a middle period, and a later period. And the early period really was the idea that these were very hermetic recordings, and they were all solo, and they were acoustic, and they were all, for the most part, they were kind of single-string guitar playing. There was that feel to them, that they were spontaneous compositions, rather than something that was thought out or worked on too much.
Settle back, he said, make up your mind to stay.
The second period kind of starts with the introduction of Nancy's vocals. There's this slow accretion of other sound elements when the drums come in, when there starts to be electric guitar and some other things like that, where all of a sudden what's been so involuted in terms of its all of its emotions are turned inwards. All of a sudden you get this kind of flowering in a way of the music. They're just out of control almost, these kind of, I mean, they're really fun, really kind of these joyful pieces, you know, Dionysian kind of stuff, you know, in comparison to what had been going on previous.
If you reach
sort of hit the wall of Blue Corpse. I mean, from the opening notes of it, you feel that something is going on here. That's not, I mean, this is such a change. There's a change of mood, there's a change of tempo, there's a change of instrumentation, really, that doesn't, that seems disconnected. You know, where it, like, it's like the bottom dropped out again.
I passed by the building you were working in.
And it's, but it's not a return, really, to the form of the original stuff, either. It contains elements of the second portion, but again, it seems as though this is music that's internally based. But it seems like that starts sort of the third period of stuff, in which, you know, there are electric instruments and there are some other people, seems like, maybe playing on stuff. But it's not the kind of, like, really kind of raging material that had been going on during the second period, the first really electric stuff.
Rain's pouring down in the window, and I'm sitting here in Madison trying to figure out where you are. Yes, I'm sitting.
But, you know, if you want to recap, it's really sort of a, you know, the first batch of records are these incredibly weird, hermetic, acoustic records. Then there are these kind of explosive electric records that seem to be the idea of turning outward and not having to compress all this stuff anymore. And then there's kind of the bottom falls out. And, you know, it's back to the more morose original material, but still using other people and using some of the techniques that were evolved in the second portion. And then you get into the those a cappella records, that those to me are particularly bizarre.
I've been through your nursery rhyme. I've been through your nursery rhyme.
Some of them seemed like, you know, like creepy messages left on an answering machine, in a way. And I thought they were, you know, I thought it was really powerful, but I found it not entertaining to listen to at all. And they sort of stand by themselves as a trinity of I don't really know what.
I say, let me up. Please. Let me up. You.
Some people will interpret that he's very closed off and he doesn't want people that close. I feel the opposite. I feel that he's welcoming people in. He wants people to think about him. He wants people to talk about him. And I've never talked this long about anyone before, and I've been doing interviews for years. And I couldn't think this much to say about Dylan or Brian Wilson or the Beatles or Elvis, because it's already there. But with Jandek, we talk about it, we have to talk about other people's interpretations, and we have to try to get not the picture, but various pictures of Jandek.
It's all going to the war path. That must be pie in the end. Riding to a war path. Move to go down the pants of a tear. Dance all night long.
La. Sangro basta, strength to live. Wind, bring our path back home.
Three other songs that I'm particularly interested in talking about, and they're all last songs on records, and they all have a sense of finality. They all have a sense that this is the last song on the last Jandek record. Lost Cause has a 20-minute song on its second side. The entire second side is occupied by a song called The Electric End, which after a relatively sedate album, it's 20 minutes of noise, of just like taking the guitar and cranking it up and making a gigantic, horrible noise so that he screams a little bit towards the end. And there's something very, very final sounding about it, like he's saying goodbye to everything. A couple of years later, you know, a few months later, he made another record. A few years later, there's another last song. It's the long piano song, The Beginning. The Beginning is the name of the record. You know, what a perfect name for a final record. I think at some point on that album, he actually says something like, I'm ready for the house. You know, like, okay, we've brought it full circle. At the end of it, there's this long instrumental piano piece. He's never really played piano before on any of the records. And the piano is as out of tune as his guitar. It's as out of tune as anything else he's ever done. It's unmistakably his playing, like his sense of rhythm, his sense of, like, just hitting a bunch of notes and seeing how they sound and letting that sound linger. Okay, well, this wraps up the Jandek story. This is the end of that. And then, of course, 6 months, he makes another record. And this time, the record that came after that was the first a cappella record that he made, the first of his sort of spoken word records. And the last piece on that, after two very long pieces, is a little minute and a half long piece called I Went Outside, I think it's called. And it's this absolute sort of completely distilled deathbed blues. There aren't even any notes. There's just his enunciation. He just says,
cold, dark, and lonely, I
Look round for my shoes.
And he says that four times. So he's gone past the blues repetition, he's repeated again, and he starts yelling, or yelping, or something, or exclaiming.
I put them on. I went for a walk. In the snow and ice. So cool.
And the record cuts off right there. Like, that's it. That's what he's been reduced to. That's all that's left. That's his voice. And that could be the last Jandek record. And then 6 months later, he made another one.
Jandek has, in not creating a public personality, created one of the stronger public personalities of somebody of his musical ilk. You know, probably the strongest. Somebody that makes music that's that outsider can't. can't really have more appeal than Jandek does. Jandek has captured the imagination of more people than he probably ever imagined when he started putting out those records. I mean, if he did imagine that as many people would be interested in his music as are, then he really is crazy.
Jandek story end if Jandek is a movie. I guess what I'd consider most true to life would be that he just keeps on putting out these records till he runs out of money or gets tired of it. But I suppose another scenario that would make a better movie would be that if eventually he finds some way to connect with a larger audience, and they decide to make him a star. And then comes the huge conflict that would take half the film of whether he comes out and reveals who he really is, or whether he remains a mystery for all time.
I think Jandek will continue on for quite a while. Maybe not indefinitely, but I don't really ever see it stopping, you know, anytime soon. And if it did, I think that the albums would just become all the more valuable and rare and special.
The last time I saw you, was I don't know when.
I sort of have a feeling he's one of those people who are probably just going to keep on putting out albums until he gets just too old and decrepit to even play guitar or sing, and maybe we'll just see one every other year then.
Just look around. You're living in the new dawn.
I don't know what the end of Jandek is. The end of Jandek, I hope, won't be until he dies. I hope it won't be until after that. I hope that there'll be just new Jandek records coming out maybe once a year forever, and I'll look at them and listen to them and I'll say he's making real progress on this one.
Electric Prunes for Vox, bringing you the exciting new sound of the Vox Wah-Wah pedal. Let the Electric Prunes demonstrate the difference. Play it prunes first without the Wah-Wah pedal. Now, listen to the difference when you push that Vox Wah-Wah pedal down. You can even make your guitar sound like a sitar. It's the now sound. It's what's happening. That's why the Electric Prunes, Animals, Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Stones, the Seeds are all using the Vox Wah-Wah pedal, and it works with any amplifier. If you're a professional musician or want to sound like one, get with the new Vox Wah-Wah pedal at your Vox dealer now.
As demonstrated on Rumbletone Radio Agogo, heard Wednesdays from 3 till 5 p.m. here on CITR.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This show is A Noise. Luke Mead here. Hope you enjoyed the one-hour audio documentary on Jandek and featuring lots of talking heads from the great, great visual documentary Jandek on Corwood, and interspersed whole bunch of Jandek in there, kind of spanning his entire career. But how you can't do that in an hour, I can definitely say that. But in the studio right now, Jandek is going to be here in Vancouver Monday, December 7th at the Scotiabank Dance Center. And right now in the studio, we have the promoter of said gig, Mr. David Ames. David, thank you for coming into the studio.
Right on, thanks.
All right, you know, can I get you to talk? Move the mic a little closer to you. How are you, man? First and foremost, how on earth did you manage to get in touch with the man, the myth, Jandek, or Sterling Silver, or you know, like that?
The representative from Corwood Industries.
The representative from Corwood Industries?
Yeah, that developed over the last year. I had gone down to San Francisco to see a Jandek show a couple years ago, and miraculously, I was driving down Haight Street, and I ran into him on the street. It was quite something. And
we got to interview. What was he dressed like?
The hat, unmistakable. It was, you know, just in the morning on Haight Street, and it was a real high for me. Luke, it was a highlight, you know, of my life, you know, because I don't know if remember the last time you gasped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't recall.
I think
ever.
It was when I saw Jandek in Austin.
Gasping was like 9/11. You know, it was the last time that happened, and just that encounter. Did you have an encounter with him too?
No, not at all. It was when he walked on stage.
Carried that aura.
And like, we saw him in Austin 2007, and it was at the Presbyterian Church of Austin or whatever.
It was
and
exciting,
it was during South by Southwest. Well, the funniest thing is the lights, it was packed. The lights went down, and the band came up first, and they just kind of started warming up, and it was a kind of a drone kind of thing, because there was a harmonium player, and it was really, really, and then he came out. And anyone with a camera ran to the front and just started taking pictures. Now, remember, the cathedral was really dark. Like, they really kept the lights lights to a minimum. So it honestly looked like for about 2 minutes that he had a strobe light show. There's all these flashes were just going off. Like, people were just going nuts. And then before he even started playing and stuff like that, he kind of made a signal to one of the people running the show and stuff. And they were like, okay, one more minute and then no more photos, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Sure.
You know? And he started playing in a really lackadaisical kind of way, and just he's plugged in and playing electric guitar. And his lyrics were really on one of some of the more depressing, self-depreciating things I've ever heard him sing. And that's saying something, actually. Like, his second tune was, "I hate myself. I'm sorry, but I do. Don't ask me why." And that was the main lyrical tone.
These are all original approaches on these shows, written for the show, the lyrics. That's the special thing about, I found, in the Jandek shows.
Well, you also said you managed to throw together the bands that he's going to be playing with, both here and in Victoria, correct?
Yes.
And now, how did you go about figuring out who would be appropriate for something like that? And then, is there an approval process on Jandek's part, like where he goes, okay, I'll allow myself to play with these guys?
Well, we discussed it. It all started with Wendy Atkinson.
No stranger to this show, by the way. We play her stuff a lot. She's fantastic.
Yeah, I had an instinct. What happened is after meeting him a few months later, I sent some money to the post office box to, you know, traditional way of buying his albums. And I suggested, because we had discussed, he said he liked the West Coast and such and some other conversation. And that he wanted to, I suggested if you come up to Vancouver, you might want to take a look at Wendy Atkinson. Anyway, I got a letter back saying, indicating an interest about that. And then it all developed from there. He asked me if I knew anybody to put on the show, and you know, it just seemed so out of the realm for a lot of Vancouver new music, and was up on 8th and Scotia there, the Western Front. Nobody, mm-hmm. people either didn't know him.
And it's pretty amazing because you're talking about, like, you mentioned the Western Front and stuff like that. You would think that something like Western Front would be cutting edge, or you know what I mean? Like,
didn't even return my calls.
You know, and it's just, it's interesting that still.
Too rock and roll, you know, basically.
Well, actually, the book I've got, Irwin Shusted, describes him, and this is, I think, is a really good quote, is Jandek's not rock and roll. He's not rock. He's not roll. He's not even and. And I like that
which
description
makes, you know,
a lot.
Not to be contentious, which makes him rock, right? You know, by definition, like rock being, you know, the thing that's always constantly outside and pushing forward, you know, this new consciousness, you know, this, you know, just, again, it's a lightning rod. The Georgia Strait, you know, suggests he's country blues. Adrian Mack suggests he was unlistenable. But, you know, these are all good things. You know, it's a lightning rod for how people feel about music, as you know, of course, if you see the documentary, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like what you said. What was said in the documentary too is, like, when you do listen to a Jandek album, you need to instantly reevaluate what you think good or bad music is, and even it makes it you have to reevaluate what you think music is a lot of the time. You know, like, I mean, how it's structured and that kind of thing. What do you think we're going to be seeing on Monday night?
Well, we've put together a something. I believe that will be an exploration hitherto undone by Jandek's looking. The Jandek, it's going to be a Jandek experience from what I've seen and how we've approached this. Is we're trying to uncover new territory in new sonic territory, mm-hmm. and I think we've got the best players. I think we have. Josh Stevenson, Jeff Allport, Wendy Atkinson, and Rachel Wadham. And it's certainly a Jandek, if you're into Jandek or into music in general. I don't know. I did the best. We went back and forth in answer to your question. Corwood and I, the representative for Corwood Industries, and I went back and forth as to what would be the best Jandek configuration for the show. And we bantered back and forth, and I felt very honored because he gave me the carte blanche on the final say. And
for both the Vancouver and Victoria shows?
Yeah, Vancouver and Victoria shows, which are going to be completely different shows.
I can see that, actually. You've got Dave Shokroon on double bass and Jeremy Van Wyk on drums, so it's just a three-piece in Victoria.
Yeah, we want the Victoria show is going to be like a kickback, straight-out rock show, jam-heavy, you know, whereas the Vancouver show is going to be something that I don't even know how it's going to be. You know, you stand on the edge of the cliff and you jump off, you know. I said, okay, this is what it's going to be. All I know is the Corwood representative is coming up, and he has expressed great interest and excitement about what's going to go down on Monday. And, you know, it's just a heavy thing, you know.
He's been, Jandek's been releasing a lot of his live performances on CD and stuff like that. Do you think this show will be worthy of a release? Or, like, will Corwood possibly consider putting it out?
If it's heavy, it'll be out.
Well, thank you very much. That's Jandek Monday night at the Scotiabank Dance Center. Tickets are?
At tickets tonight.ca, Red Cat and Zulu Records. And they're just about gone, so...
Pick them up. That's
Thank
good
you,
to hear.
Everybody.
And pick them up, because if you really are, we're not just doing this to plug, you know. It really is truly a unique experience for this city, or any city, to
and
have,
And I'd
actually.
Just like to say, the Victoria show, we got lots of tickets for Victoria shows, only $20. And if you want the full Jandek experience, I can't think of a better reason to travel.
No doubt. You know, and yeah, $5 walk-on ferry, you know, that's a $25 show almost.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just one time is going to happen. And for the full Jandek experience, Victoria on December 9th, Wednesday, December 9th, in Vancouver, Scotiabank Dance Center, Monday, December 7th.
All right, we're going to leave you with something off of the new Jandek album. This is off of Portland Thursday. This is your request, actually, Dave. And
check out the lyrics in the end.
Okay, it's a lovely little track called Cut Up.
Thank you. kill me first.